Moving on, we moan about a lot of things these days, but I think in Scotland we have two pet moans. One is the weather, and the other is our energy bills. Now, we can't do anything about the weather, and I'm not sure if our next speaker can do anything about our energy bills, but he's working very hard to make our knowledge of how our energy is being used in our homes much more accessible. Could you please welcome Paul Coyle of Energy UK? Welcome, Paul.
First of all, I'd like to thank Sandra for putting pressure on me before I've even started with that, about the energy suppliers. And I think the detail I'm going to talk through today, I think it's going to be far less interesting and inspiring than the presentation that Emma just gave. So that was excellent. Thank you. Yep. So I'm here today on behalf of Energy UK. Energy UK itself is a body within the England, Scotland and Wales who act on behalf of all the energy suppliers within the United Kingdom. Now, before I go on to the actual device itself and the accessibility options that are in place, I want to give a bit of an overview with regard to Energy UK's background and to the project itself and how it came to be. So, about Energy UK. So, as I said, Energy UK is a trade association for the United Kingdom. We represent 90 energy suppliers and generators of domestic and business customers. In terms of the representation of those members, we have all the large suppliers within the United Kingdom cover the Scotland, England and Wales, and we're really starting to see an uplift in the number of small suppliers that are starting to become Energy UK members. I think the main benefits of being a member within Energy UK is a collective approach to the programmes that are running through the government, and specifically for smart metering, which we're going to talk through today. As I said, it covers the largest UK the firms across the energy sector in the UK. We also have a growing supply of suppliers and generators for large and small customers. It's not working. There we go. So in terms of the output from Energy UK itself, the renewable resources as well as nuclear, gas and coal, the work that Energy UK does on behalf of its suppliers and customers covers 27 million homes across the UK. In terms of the smart meter rollout itself, we are looking to install smart meters in every home in the UK by the end of 2020. You might think that's a very tall task, given that's 4 years and we've been at it for quite a bit of time to try and kick off the project, but hopefully what you'll see today is some of the kind of the strong activity that's in place with suppliers and the work that we're doing together on that. So the smart metering project itself began back in 2006. Fortunately, I wasn't part of the project team back then. I was doing work elsewhere. But the project at that time was very much just idea-based, looking at how customers could benefit from smart meters, the type of changes that we need to be put in place, and how that could be implemented across the UK. The actual specification that we worked to just now within the UK was developed majority by Energy UK and its members. As I said, it's Energy UK and its suppliers that actually drive the work on the smart meter programme through, and the start of that project came back in 2006. In terms of the market itself, as much as we're involved in smart meters, there are a lot of other initiatives on the go just now that Energy UK play a key part in. The smart meter rollout itself is the one that I'm personally focused on, and a lot of the key initiatives that the team are working on is part of just now. So again, we continue to work alongside the government and its members as part of the work that's been done for smart metering. The work that we do, a lot of it is driven by government initiatives and government decisions. So a lot of the time, the work that we put in place, it's already been decided for us. We are kind of directed in terms of the guidance that we must follow from the government side, but we try as much as we can to make sure that the energy suppliers can meet these demands and that the customers can also get the benefits from the work. So on to the smart meter implementation programme itself. As I said, by the end of 2020, we are expected to have installed 53 million smart meters across the UK. So the focus at the moment is on the domestic customers. There will be elements that will touch on the small business customers and then roll out to large business in the future. But the directives that we're working to just now are to have the domestic customers have their smart meters installed by the end of 2020. So in terms of the installation of the smart meters themselves, it's purely the energy suppliers that are responsible for the installation of those meters. So I think a lot of the energy suppliers just now are very active in terms of their installation of smart meters. One of the areas that the project that I'm working on with John Walsford from RNIB and Green Energy Options, who are the manufacturer of the device that we will show very shortly, are very much focused on not just how the smart meter programme will benefit the UK as a whole, but how it can benefit the accessible options required for blind and partially sighted customers. So in terms of the cost, and this is probably the key item for customers in terms of energy supply, as Sandra kindly mentioned, suppliers are not the people's best friends in terms of energy bills and how those are put out. So the work we do at Energy UK is very much about trying to keep suppliers honest in terms of the work they do, how they are imposed, and make sure that the consumer at the end of the day benefits from all the work that we put in place. And in terms of the device itself that we will talk through today, the actual cost of the installation and the in-home display that will accompany the smart meter, there is no upfront cost for any consumer as part of that installation. It's purely embedded within the smart meter programmes that the suppliers will be rolling out. And it's in terms of the work that we're putting in place, there is no charge upfront to the customer for that installation. So if you aren't already involved with your supplier or aware of the smart meter programme that they're looking to do on the back of this session today, please get in touch with them, ask them what's happening with their smart meter programmes, and really, as much as myself and John and the other guys in the project are doing, put pressure on them to make sure they're putting the installations in where they should. And in terms of the timescales, it said that the overall deadline for this installation of the smart meters is 2020. As of last month, I believe, the end of June, the end of quarter two this year, they are still in the early stages of deployment with just over 3 million smart meters installed in houses to date. Okay. So what is a smart meter? Some of you may be aware of the system itself, how it operates, but I'd like to just give a quick overview of the system and how it will be put in place. So very high level, it is the next generation of gas and electricity meters that will replace the traditional metering that's in place in homes and businesses across the UK. Okay. The devices themselves include a range of more intelligent functions, not just the communication method that will be put in place, which I'll talk through in a bit more detail, but how the customer and the consumers can interact with the meters, understand the consumption that's processing through the meters, and at the end of the day, get more information with regard to how much energy is costing on a daily basis. Okay. The devices themselves will communicate directly and remotely with energy suppliers. So this is essentially going to remove the need for any manual meter readings to be taken from meters and then transmitted through to suppliers via telephone calls, internet access, or any of the current apps that are in place. The readings themselves from the gas and electricity meters will be taken automatically, and it will allow the most accurate bills possible to be created for customers. In terms of the data itself, now we'll start to move on to the actual device itself. The information that will be displayed on the device will be as near to real time as can be available between what the gas and the electricity meters can communicate. We'll talk in a bit more detail with regard to the access to the device and what it can provide, but it's really just to allow customers to get that real up-to-date information on their consumption and, more importantly, how much it's costing them. And the meter themselves, within the current market, if a customer has a credit meter where you pay on a monthly fee or a direct debit, then that meter is essentially referred to as a credit meter. Now, if you were looking to have a prepayment meter installed where you would top up the consumption and process that through, then that would require the supplier to make a change of meter and put a new meter in place for prepayment. The smart meters, when they are installed, will remove that the need for that additional installation. So the supplier will be able to switch on behalf of the customer from credit mode to prepayment and vice versa on the same day, removing the need for any visits to customer properties, for fees for any installers coming out, and it'll make it a completely automatic process from the customer's approval. So a quick overview on how it actually works itself. So the smart meters themselves that are installed just now as part of the framework use mobile phone signals to communicate with the suppliers. Suppliers install, which is referred to from their side as a head-end system, which links as an interface between the meters themselves and the actual property that the customer will be having the meters in. So it allows the signals from the meter to be transmitted back to the supplier and the readings to be generated on that through the phone signals. The actual communication of the meter itself is all transferred wirelessly. So the smart meter that will be in place will have the gas and the electricity meter and also what we refer to as a communications hub. The communications hub that will be installed as part of that interface is the link between the smart meters and the actual in-home display, which will provide the meter reading information. In 2017, we've really seen the launch of the second generation of smart meters. Suppliers are working tirelessly with Energy UK and the other industry bodies to install as many meters as we can up until the end of 2016. But 2017 we'll really see the ramp up in smart meters coming in and the opportunity to have it in place and also have the in-home display as part of that installation. In terms of the systems themselves, and I will not bore you with any of the detail of the central systems that make this work, but the flow of information will go directly from the smart meters through to the energy suppliers as part of the framework that will be installed. Okay, so the smart metering system itself, you can see here, it's not the best of diagrams, but the view here, it shows the structure of the home itself on the left as the energy consumer, the data and communications company, which is essentially the link between the home and the supplier, and then also what's referred to as the data communications company service users. And the focus for us today was on the energy supplier section of that. So on the left-hand side, we have the energy consumers. And in that box, we have the communications hub that's in place. We have the gas meter, the electricity meter, and the consumer access devices that customers may already have in place or look to develop as the smart meters become available. Now, the communications hub itself is responsible for all the central communications within the property and will transfer the signals between both the gas and the electricity meters to the in-home display in the home area network. Now, in terms of the focus itself, the in-home display is going to be the focus of the work I'll go into to talk about in the project that we're showcasing today. The real aim of the in-home display itself, not just for accessibility, but for standard in-home displays, is to allow the energy consumption and the cost of that energy to be viewed on a daily, hourly basis, whatever the customer's requirements are. Again, it's about having a simple and easy to use customer interface. So there are various apps in place just now through phones and through internet websites to allow this access. But as part of the smart meter installation, one of the key objectives of that is to provide customers with a single device that will give them access to all the information they need on their energy consumption and how much that costs. And again, the final point there is just the work we are going to be doing and we've done so far is around developing an enhanced version of that in-home display, making it accessible to all customers of all requirements and ensuring that it is provided free of charge as part of a smart meter installation. So what to talk about now is the actual Accessible IHD initiative itself. So back in early 2015, Energy UK's supplier members looked at the options that were in place with regard to in-home displays, understood that there was a gap in the knowledge that Energy UK and its members had with regard to the requirements of blind and partially sighted customers, and essentially sought out the experts in the field, which are the Royal National Institute for the Blind. Okay. And through the work that was kicked off within that project and that early work, it became apparent that there was nothing in the market that met the requirements of accessibility for customers, and that there would need to be something new brought to the market to ensure that all customers had the same benefits once smart meters were in place. And from there, essentially, the Accessible IHD initiative was born. And again, point I want to note is that this project itself and all the work with regard to the development of the device is funded by Energy UK suppliers members. So all the suppliers that up your bills and they charge you a lot for the gas and the electricity, it's worth noting that the work that has been done within this project is very much driven by Energy UK and its members, supported by RNIB and Green Energy Options as the manufacturer of the device. So in terms of where we came, we identified the gap in the market with regard to not having an IHD that would meet the requirements of those customers, and RNIB led a procurement process to identify a potential service provider and manufacturer for the accessible in-home display. As part of that process, there was a very clear set of requirements identified that had to be established for the manufacturer to be successful through that procurement process. And the first point there, and it's one I want to really stress, is the work that I've probably kind of led on and personally done over the last 6 months has been very much around ensuring that it is a single variant, the accessible device that is in place. I think what we're starting to see is suppliers look to have their own customer engagement activities in place and new applications that they want to install with customers. But as part of this project, we wanted to ensure that the device itself would be accessible not just for customers, but if you are to change supplier, once you have a smart meter installed and an accessible IHD, then we want to ensure that that device will be able to connect with a new supplier's framework. So once the device is in place and the accessible IHD is in the home, any change of your conditions or supplier shouldn't affect how that device is actually accessed. Again, that kind of touched on the interoperability and interchangeability. Again, that's focusing on the actual device itself and ensuring that it can be accessed by all customers through any type of supplier, regardless of a change being in place. And the key technical specification for the baseline for the device itself is the government's technical specification for smart meter devices. So that technical specification is essentially the foundation of what makes up the framework and the interface with the device. And what we've looked to do is essentially develop that interface and those technical specifications to make sure it meets the requirements of blind and partially sighted customers. Okay, and the key kind of objective on that and ensuring that we can bring a device to the market that has what John likes to refer to as the RNIB approved status, which is wanting to really provide customers with the assurance and the confidence that this in-home display that we've developed and we've brought to the market, it's not just about giving customers access to their information, but we want to show that it's a collaborative approach that Energy UK, RNIB and GEO have taken to develop the device and bring it to the market. And as part of that process, RNIB gave clear advice on what was needed for the device to be fully accessible. So as I said, there was a gap identified with regard to the current devices that were in place, and it was about ensuring that any new device that was brought to market met the requirements of RNIB and its customers. So agreeing what was needed as part of that process. So the procurement process itself set out clearly what the requirements were for manufacturers to deliver this process. The Green Energy Options, as part of that procurement process, were selected as the service provider in December 2015. From that, there was a series of user groups established, which were essentially between Green Energy Options and RNIB. And what we really looked for at this point was for RNIB to support not just Energy UK, but the actual device manufacturer themselves on what customers needed from this device. We understood what the standard requirements were for the device, but we had no knowledge at all around the type of problems that blind and partially sighted customers require with their devices, with their day-to-day activity. And as some of the detail that Emma touched on earlier. There's all these elements that come into place, especially in the home, and it was really needing the RNIB support to make sure we delivered that. And the user groups that we had in place focused on testing the foundation and the standard of the initial device, identifying not just the actual interface and the feel of the device, but really just to kind of clarify exactly what type of requirements customers would need for this type of device. Okay, and as part of the output from these user groups, that led to the refinement of the design specification itself, and that is really going to be the key document that drives forward the actual production and testing, final testing of the device itself. And the key element for that from this side of things and for what TechShare brings today is that RNIB are going to be pivotal in all aspects of the production and testing process. And the key kind of timescale we're working to just now, by the end of this month, we're looking to have the final product requirements document in place. And we've put kind of notes out to suppliers just last week, actually, that once this design specification is in place, we are looking for suppliers to commit to orders on accessible in-home displays so that when the devices do become available early next year, that they can meet the requirements of customers who need this device as part of their smart meter installation. So the project team itself, Energy UK, who I'm representing here today, we also have RNIB, who are pivotal in terms of the accessibility criteria that the device itself will enhance, and Green Energy Options, who are a manufacturer of smart devices and equipment throughout the UK, and they are essentially the manufacturer for the accessible in-home display itself. So the diagram here, and I won't go into this in too much detail, but what it shows here is the collaboration effort that's in place between three organisations. And up until this point, this is really kind of, from a UK energy side of things, this is really breaking new ground in terms of the collaboration between other areas of the industry. There's certainly not been this level of integration with RNIB or with RNIB on any... any aspect of the delivery itself. Sorry, I'll let them. See, I've got a Springer Spaniel at home, and these are the most well-behaved dogs I've ever seen in my life, honestly. puts them to shame. Yep, so what I'm focused on here is really just the collaboration between three elements that have really not been done at all within the Energy UK and the UK energy industry, sorry. We've defined here the roles and the responsibilities within the project, and this diagram here essentially represents the project board that's in place and how that relationship and commercial framework works with those parties. And what we have also at the bottom of the diagram is to show that the link that energy suppliers have with Green Energy Options in terms of the device itself and how they will set up contracts and commercial arrangements with those suppliers. For a lot of the suppliers that will be doing these installations, they do already have contracts in place with Geo for other standard in-home displays and other devices. So the commercial side of things will either be building on the existing relationships that are in place or expanding new contracts and new relationships through the support of RNIB and Energy UK. So the standard in-home display itself, what's it going to deliver? The consumption itself, be able to show every 10 seconds most up-to-date electricity information. So the in-home display will be updated in real time, well, as near to real time as possible, we have 10 seconds, with the kilowatt hour consumption that's in place and the cost per hour for that consumption at that time. The gas meter will update the in-home display every 30 minutes to give you an indication of the gas consumption that's been placed for that length of time and again the cost per hour for that gas consumption. What it'll also provide is historic consumption for the energy that's consumed and also the cost associated with that. So as much as being access to the real-time information, you'll also be able to get a view on the daily, weekly and monthly views of historical consumption that's been processed. I think the key aim behind that is to ensure that you're not just getting access to the energy that's been used right now based on the devices and the activity that's going on in the house, but You can then look back at your historical consumption and understand points in the time, points in the last week or the last month where there was maybe a spike in your energy, and really give additional information to customers so that they can accurately manage their energy and at the end of the day try to reduce bills whenever possible. And again, there will be additional access to tariff and prepayment information, which will allow customers to view the other tariffs that are in place and compare them with the existing tariff that is in place in the property at that time. The meter readings themselves, be able to input the meter readings and have them transferred through to the supplier if required. Certainly from the prepayment side of things, they will allow the update of the in-home display to reflect straight onto the meter so that anything that is carried out just now through prepayment and onto prepayment meters can be done directly with the in-home display. And again, there will be alerts and any messages that the supplier needs to communicate with the customer will be transferred and accessible through the in-home display also. So in addition to that, what are the requirements of the actual accessible in-home display? And again, the requirements that we have here are very much driven from the work that we've done on the user groups supported by RNIB. So easy to use buttons, ensuring their contrast in colour and tactile. Obviously the hardware itself, if you've not seen it already, we have a prototype version downstairs, and please feel free to come down, have a look at it, ask any questions you have, and just get a feel for how it's looking at the moment. But the hardware itself was a key element in terms of the output we had from those user groups. And RNIB have been, I wouldn't say strong, but been very persuasive in terms of making sure that we've got the right equipment in place for that. Again, it's about having a simple and easy to understand interface for all customers. And I think through the project itself, this isn't something that we particularly see has to be available for blind or partially sighted customers, but given the additional functionality that this device allows, it may be something that suppliers may want to roll out to a wider customer base. But again, it's been driven by RNIB's requirements, and we want to ensure that it's available for all customers that may feel that this is something they could benefit from. Again, the colour itself, with a high contrast option available, and that refers to the actual screen in terms of how that can be viewed if it's being used. In terms of the hardware itself, I'll go into to talk about that in a bit more detail and show you some images of how the prototype looks at the moment. Again, the key element from that, and again, we've got this in demonstration downstairs, is the text-to-speech output that the device allows. So currently, standard in-home displays have no requirement to talk to customers or provide them with a walkthrough of the options they have in place at the moment. So what the accessible in-home display will do is not just describe the options that are available through the device, but at any time we'll be able to activate and talk to the customer and tell them exactly how much energy they're using at any point in time and how much that energy will cost. Again, the device itself will be portable. It will have a stand and have rechargeable batteries, so when it's not being used or any requirement for it, it can sit on the stand. It's going to have essentially non-slip feet, so there'll be no kind of movement on it when it's there, but it's very much going to be a portable device that can be moved around the house or sat down wherever need be, and has the rechargeable batteries in place that can be, once it's back on the stand, it takes care of itself in terms of power. And again, the prepayment support will be available through the in-home display. So not just allowing access to prepayment information with meter readings, but also allowing the update of prepayment credit to the meter directly through the in-home display and its screens. And again, the key aspect from the government side of things and the overall smart metering programme is to ensure that it's aligned with smart metering requirements and initiatives. So what you can see here, and again, I stress this is very much a prototype in terms of the display itself. You have the front screen and the main screens that we have in place with the device itself. We have the large central screen with all the information stored on there. To the side of that screen, we also have the six functional buttons that are in place. As I referred to, those are going to be in colour. They'll be tactile so that once a consumer understands how the device works and they've been given that guidance, the view is that it can then be accessed through a simple handheld setup, and all the buttons will be able to move through all the different options that are in place and again, the accessibility of those options and how those can be easily discussed and the device actually provide the output on what's being displayed, again, is on showcase downstairs. And any information that anyone would like on this, there'll be contact details left so that we can follow this up in a bit more detail. But this just kind of gives an idea of how the device is viewed just now in terms of its functional setup, the actual hardware that's there. And the prototype itself is still at the design stage for the end of this month, but from October onwards, we're hoping to be in the development stage. What we can see here is an expanded view of the front and the back of the device. The back itself, as you can see here, it's got the non-slip stand in place. The colour just now on the back is shown as turquoise. I think it was only maybe 3 weeks ago. I was in a meeting with suppliers, and the concern at that meeting wasn't with regard to the hardware itself or the screens or the buttons that we're using. It was potentially that the colour could favour one of the other suppliers' branding. So, that was, I think I maybe took about 30, 40 minutes of the meeting just to decide on what the colour of the back of the unit should be. I think following that, we've arrived on a simple white back with the black facing with all the buttons in place. But that was joint John Lattes as well. Sorry. No bother, that's fine, yep. Just in terms of the actual detail and the colour itself, we've arrived on it as being white, and it's very much going to be a standard device and look and feel to it that customers will have. And again, this is just a focus on the screens that will display there. And the focus on the screens here, it shows now the availability of the options for the energy now, which is essentially that's being consumed at that point in time, and then also the energy today, which is a more of a projection around the consumption that's being viewed over a longer period of time. And again, all the information that is displayed on screen will be available through text-to-speech functionality on the product. So I'll quickly run through the button functionality itself. So the home button, which was the top left button on that screen, is essentially used to return the user to the home display, reset all the menus, and bring the device back to a standard state where customers should know how to navigate through from there once it's in place. Again, it allows them to cycle through the Energy Now and Energy Today screens that will be available. The History button, which was the second down on the left-hand side, is essentially allow them to show the main menu if it's not already been shown so that the customer can get access to all the options the device has. Also allow them to return to the top of any menu that is in place and again move back up a level to navigate through the menus. And again, the device itself, well, it has this functionality on the buttons. What we're looking, and this is something that I'm going to be working closely with John Walshford on at RNIB, is to ensure that it's not just provide the device and the functionality itself, but there is adequate guidance and tutorials in place, not just online, but as part of the smart meter installation, to ensure that any customer who does receive an accessible in-home display is given all the information and the training they need to be able to access that device and use it from the time of installation. And again, I'll just highlight here some of the additional functionality on the buttons themselves. The up and down buttons, again, pretty straightforward, move through the menus and select the items. And the OK button is, again, just to confirm options and also to provide an indication of any information that's displayed on screen at that time and what that transfers to. OK, so what's next in terms of the project? The energy suppliers have been asked to provide orders to Geo for the end of October. So that will then allow them to finalise their production cycle for this, just moving into quarter one 2017. At that point, we should be looking for suppliers to provide accessible in-home displays as part of their installations wherever a customer requires them. Again, consumers can request the accessible in-home display from their supplier as part of the installation, and that's something we want to stress here today, is that the accessible in-home display is in production. All suppliers are aware of it, and all suppliers are aware of their obligation to install accessible in-home displays as part of the smart installation where a customer requires it. So where if it's not done already, please get in touch with your supplier, not to put pressure on them, but understand what their smart meter rollout looks like in terms of timescales and stress the importance of this type of device being in place for you if needed. 2 seconds into this, yep. So again, so we already have five of the largest suppliers already ready to place orders. We have indicative volumes in place for them just now, and we'll continue to work hard on the rest to make sure they have the full orders in place. In terms of the Energy UK's commitment, we will continue to promote the work that we're doing on the project to all energy suppliers, not just for the Energy UK membership and the suppliers within that, but all suppliers that will be responsible for installing smart meters across the UK. Okay, and as I said, if there's any additional information that you would like, I'm here today. John Walshford's also here today from RNIB, and there's also contact details there from Mark Penhaligan, who is the project manager on behalf of GEO within the project. And again, if there's anything, I'll be here for the rest of today. Any questions you have, anything you want to discuss in a bit more detail, if you just come and let me know, and I can hopefully be able to help. I'm not sure if the slides will be shared as part of this or there's any communications been sent on the back, but I've highlighted here some two really useful references in terms of additional information for the smart meter programme as a whole and additional information that could help with your understanding of the project and how this device will fit in that framework. Thank you.